Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app from inside the Mobile Kia studio, sitting in for John Chuckery tonight. He is back tomorrow. Appreciate those of you who have reached out on Twitter at Willie P Style and at 929 The Game, like my man SS Minter, who shared with me his mock draft. And he, not necessarily as concerned about the edge rushing, but more concerned about the linebacker depth. He has Oklahoma's Kenneth Murray going in the opening round. And, you know, I was talking about this with Jarvis Davis, who's going to join us here in about 20 minutes' time, because he has some culinary suggestions for those of you who might be struggling over the course of this coronavirus pandemic. But I am not in love. And I don't even know if it's just, if it has anything, I don't know why it has to do with this. But I am just not in love with any of the linebackers in this year's NFL draft. Like, Isaiah Simmons is listed as a safety slash linebacker hybrid. That's basically what he is. I mean, he was a linebacker slash safety at Clemson, and that's how he profiles in the league. He's somebody who can kind of play both. Almost to the same vein of, as what Devondre Campbell did for the Falcons, although I think Simmons does that gig better than I believe that Campbell would. And yet, I look at the rest of the crop. You know, I'm not sold on Kenneth Murray. Jarvis says he's got a source of his that believes that Murray's overrated. But outside of that, you know, anytime I look at going through these types of mocks, the linebackers, wherever the Falcons, I don't know if it has anything to do with where they sit or if it's just a reflection of the crop, they're never in the top 10 of best available players available whenever you go through these draft simulations. And, you know, it's really difficult when you think about the two real positions of need for the Falcons, like things that they need to fix in this draft, things that are not luxuries. They need another defensive back. They need another corner. And they need another linebacker. And there's just not that player out there. Like, you might be able to get a cornerback in the opening round, but, you know, is Christian Fulton your answer to who replaces Desmond Trufant? Is C.J. Henderson going to be available there? I'm not sure. Is Trevon Diggs that answer? Defensive back out of Alabama who might be available for you in the second round? This is not that ultimate guy who you're looking at defensive back, like, might be available for the Falcons at, say, edge rusher. You know, we've been talking about how, you know, drafting Chaisson or Gross Matos or Epineza might be a reach for them at 16. But hey, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier. It is a defensible type deal. Like, that is a defensible type deal. Also on Twitter, my boy Barrett hits me up at Willie P Style. Falcons have enough running backs on the roster. If they must take a skill player, take a wide receiver in the third round or the fourth round. Julio is 31 and gimpy. Treadwell is a one-year tryout. And Ridley got injured last year. Do not repeat 2015 when Roddy White was done and the team overpaid Mohamed Sanu in 2016, only to trade him last year. In some of the mocks that I've looked at, I've gotten, you know, Edwards-Helaire or DeAndre Swift. So again, it's all open to interpretation where you think the Falcons' biggest need is. I seem to think that if anything, the biggest thing that they need to do is they need to shore up those two empty spots. I know Jarvis, who does a lot of this stuff when it comes to the film study and all those things, he's more into trying to make sure that that defensive line is completely fortified, even with the additions of Dante Fowler and the re-addition of Tyler Davidson and Alan Bailey. Another pass rusher for him wouldn't necessarily be out of the question. I've said before that I like Javon Kinlaw. That's somebody who I think can really change things for you in the middle, because if there's one thing that could be an Achilles heel for aging guys like Drew Brees and Tom Brady, pressure up the middle. If you put Kinlaw and Grady Jarrett in that same defensive line and you put pressure on those guard positions, we already heard Howard Balzer say this about Brady. One thing that he's not necessarily set on and understood on is how in the world are they going to keep him upright? So you could be looking, I mean, it doesn't always have to come from the edge. The pressure doesn't always have to come from the edge. If you can get elite pressure up the middle, then you could certainly get them off schedule and put them in positions where if they're not getting sacked, they're throwing picks. It's 9:06 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you're enjoying this wherever you might be doing so, via the smart speakers, smartphones, or on your whatever device you might be listening to. I know that when Chuckery does this, he says your Commando 8, your turntable, wherever you have the ability to download the Radio.com app, you should do so, because it's a great way for you to keep yourself abreast of what's going on here in Atlanta and across the great American Southeast. And if you are possibly thinking about something for dinner over the next couple of days, or lunch, an ability to try and help out our local businesses in Metro Atlanta, do so by visiting 929thegame.com/loveLocalAtlanta. That is your key to getting to where more than 130 restaurants in 26 different neighborhoods across Metro Atlanta are still open for takeout and delivery, and they need your support now more than ever. Let's do an NFL Ground and Pound. So we talked about it earlier. It seems like more and more people are trying to link up with Tom Brady. The latest return engagement member is Ndamukong Suh, who signed a one-year deal with the Buccaneers last offseason. That output for him was only 41 combined tackles, 2.5 sacks, and four passes defensed. He certainly did have an impact, though, because he was able to get a fumble and return for 37 yards to seal a deal in a 55-40 road victory over the LA Rams. The deal on Sue, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, 1 year, $8 million. He was a constant double-team guy because they switched to a 3-4 under defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. Did play the third most snaps against double teams. The only two guys who played more in double teams last year were Aaron Donald of the Rams, as well as Kenny Clark. But the one thing, too, that you're starting to see now is people are wanting to cling to Brady. They want to, you know, be a part of that mix and try and ride him into whatever sunset he might be going towards. I'm just not seeing it, guys. And call me a hater. I'm somebody who has had a front row seat to everything good that Tom Brady has done, including that game we don't talk about that I was there at. So because of that, I look at it and I say, you know what? I'm willing to believe the end is near. I'm willing to believe the apocalypse is nigh for TB12. But that's when he comes out and plays the cockroach role and comes out and does the unthinkable and wins his seventh ring. So far be it for me to sit here on an island and say, you know what? I don't think it's going to work out. I don't think it's going to be a particular success for him. Watch him go out and do the darn thing again this year. But like I'm saying right now, I have my doubts, and don't say I told you so when they finished like 7-9 this year. How did Cam Newton pass his physical, and why wasn't he traded? I'll take you back to February when Cam Newton was basically looked at in a wishy-washy fashion by the Carolina Panthers. Last night I talked with a man who covers the Panthers for WFNZ, our sister station in Charlotte, Nick Wilson, who hosts Middays, Wilson and Parcell. He says, the reason why Cam wasn't traded has nothing to do with Cam's health. and more to do with how the Panthers botched this situation.
There is a certain segment of fans who would not have accepted this move regardless. But I think by and large, from a football perspective, I would say more than half of Panther fans understood the reasoning behind moving on from him. The problem is you can't divorce it from that fact. You can't divorce the football from the way the Panthers have handled it, which is bad. I mean, you know, Dave Tepper in February fumbled a question about Cam Newton's future. Matt Rhule overcorrected for it. And then when you go to finally move on from the guy this last Tuesday and announce you're going to move on from him and try and trade him, one, it felt with as much passion and thought out as like a note to a doctor. It was completely sterile. It was kind of heartless, kind of thoughtless, their goodbye to Cam. And then 90 minutes later, the reports came out that they were signing Teddy Bridgewater. So I think people are objecting as much to how Cam has been treated on the way out as they are to the football idea of getting rid of Cam Newton.
I mean, if you put out the message that, oh, by the way, we are allowing him to seek a trade, and then 30 minutes later sign Teddy Bridgewater, then what team is actually going to trade for you? Especially if it's a guy like Cam who has very legitimate questions attached to him involving his health. So there was never any way that they could even get a compensatory pick going back their way. Something that's a throw-in. There was no way that was going to be the case. All the other teams that either wanted him or didn't were going to come together, band together, and say, you know what, we're not trading with you, Dave. This is how the business of the NFL works. You play coy. You say, oh, yeah, he's our quarterback. And then at the end of the day, you trade him. And it's a rather heartless way to go about it. But this was completely a misfire on their parts. And that's why they get nothing in return for Cam Newton. You get nothing, zero, zilch, nada, goose egg. Speaking of a quarterback who's going to be in a different place this upcoming season, Marcus Mariota took a page out of the man who replaced him in Tennessee when trying to say all the right things based on the man that he'll be backing up, at least to start the season in Oakland, Derek Carr. Last year, when Tannehill came in on what was basically a one-year prove-it deal in Tennessee to back up Marcus Mariota, he said, quote, I'm going to try and help Marcus as much as I can. Seems pretty honest. By the end of the year, Tannehill usurped him, took his job, and found himself with a very, very nice payday this offseason, and Mariota is now in Oakland. This week, Mariota, when speaking for the first time as the new Raiders quarterback, he said, quote, I'm going to do my best to support Derek in every possible way that I can. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Almost a carbon copy of what Tannehill said in support of Mariota. So while Mariota is saying, yeah, I'll support Derek Carr, wink face, how different would it have been this year if, say, Hard Knocks was following the Oakland Raiders? And following that, what I would say would be very uncomfortable standpoint, because I don't think anybody was looking at Derek Carr as anything other than starting quarterback this past year for the Oakland Raiders. But the real thing is evident. John Gruden is not totally in love with him. The fact that they tried to kick the tires on Tom Brady, the fact that it seemed like there were other guys in the kitty that they might have been going after, if Philip Rivers was possibly in the mix as well, and the fact that they brought in somebody with starting chops, or at least starting experience like Mariota, tells me that John Gruden needs to see more out of Marcus Mariota. One more story, and this is something that is more of a cosmetic rule or a cosmetic thing in the eyes of the NFL, but also something that's done out of the bastion of safety. This is according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. The NFL is considering changes to its one helmet rule, which prohibits teams from donning alternate designs above the chin strap. Basically, back in the day, you could have more than one helmet. Therefore, you could have the Chargers wearing their white helmets with the powder blue uniforms. You could have the creamsicle uniforms, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Falcons red helmets, etc. We've already speculated that red helmets might be a part of the new design anyway for the Falcons. They've said there'll be no change for the 2020 season, but league spokesman Brian McCarthy told ESPN there are ongoing discussions for potential change for the 2021 season. No ultimate decision has been made. I'm all for going back to multi-shells. I don't know why you can't just make multiple helmets. I know it's probably a cost issue. I know that they want to do everything in the name of safety for the players, but getting multiple shells back would be pretty cool, because seeing Tom Brady in the Bucko Bruce uniform is something that I want to see happen before I pass away. Absolutely. Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, in for John Chuckery. We'll come back, and Jarvis Davis has been Mr. Culinary Superstar here over the course of the last couple of days. He shares with us some of the things that he's been doing in the kitchen, and I share with you some of the things that I've been doing in mine, because if there's one thing that me and the big man can bond over, it's food. That comes your way next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and always streaming on the radio.com app via smart speakers and smartphones.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.